Well, good morning. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're so glad that you're joining us this weekend. We're continuing our series through the book of Romans called Stress Less. And this morning, we're going to look at a truth that is not only about how to stress less in moment by moment in these small stressful moments, but really how to have a different perspective about all the moments in your life, really get a new mindset for what it looks like to live life. You see, too often we don't experience life like we really want to live it, right? I mean, too often we struggle and we can even feel chained down and burdened instead of feeling free like we can live the life God has called us to live and to thrive as his people. Did you know that there is a truth that Satan wants to keep you from believing this morning? There's a truth that he wants to keep you from remembering, keep from coming into your contact at all. Doesn't want you to know about this one truth. Because he knows that if you knew about this one truth, and if you really believed this one truth, you would be unstoppable as a believer. You would be unstoppable as the man or woman that Christ has purchased and given life to. This one truth that Satan wants to keep us from knowing and believing is about who you really are in Christ. It's about who you really are in Jesus. There's a story that the New York Times put out quite a few years ago, and the police picked up this woman and they took her to a psychiatric facility and found out her neighbors called her Garbage Mary. And they called her Garbage Mary because she spent her days rummaging through garbage cans, eating the garbage that she found. When they opened up her apartment, they found garbage mounds everywhere. She slept on garbage. She ate garbage. She lived garbage. The interesting thing is, as police went through her apartment, they found stock certificates and bank books that showed Garbage Mary was worth millions because she was from a very, very wealthy family. Yet here she was living in garbage instead of living in the wealthy life that she could have. You know, you hear that story, and that was a newspaper article. And I hear that, and I'm like, what an awful thing for somebody to have to live life like that until you start thinking about Christians. And this is really the amazing thing to me, is because we have the wealthiest father in the universe. But time after time after time, we struggle and we struggle and we live in garbage instead of thriving as the people that God has made us. We've been set free to live free. And if we keep believing Satan's lies about who we are, we're going to miss out on the life that God really wants us to have. Miss out on the life that God has purchased us and saved us for. So if you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do because the screens are messed up, so this is your way to follow along. We'll be in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14 today. Right here at the beginning of Romans chapter 6, Paul says this really interesting thing. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And basically what Paul is asking, if we've been saved and forgiven of our sins, does it really matter whether we live a holy life or not? Does it really matter whether we continue in sin or not? If we've been saved by grace, should I just keep living the same life I've always lived? Look at verse 2 with me. Paul says, by no means, absolutely not. Paul says, you should not think like that, and here's why. How can we who died to sin still live in it? What Paul does not say is God said it was really bad, so don't do it. Paul did not say, this is just not a good thing for you to do, so don't do it. Here's what Paul says. We have died to sin. That's the reason we don't want to live in sin, because we have died to sin. So the issue here is not a matter of what should I do or what shouldn't I do. The issue is, who are you? And who are you not? Look at verse 3 with me. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, hear this, we too might walk in the newness of life. Now, this isn't just talking about physical baptism, getting dunked in the water. This is talking about a spiritual reality that when Christ died on the cross, that he took our death that we deserved, and he died that death, that in Christ we have died, But then when he was raised up, Paul says, if you are in Christ, you are raised up with him so that we could walk in the newness of life. So what that means for you, if you're a believer this morning, is that you are not stuck, that you are not chained up, that you are not a failure like Satan might want you to believe, that you are not hopeless, but that you can have a life of power and a life of freedom and a life of hope and a life with Jesus right now, because you can have the very resurrected life that Jesus lives in your body. You can live this resurrected life. Instead of living in the garbage, we can live with the King. So here's the truth we're going to dig into for the next few minutes. You are as free as you want to be. You're as free as you want to be. So often in our struggles, and every one of us has got a bunch of struggles, so often in our struggles, we think that we do these things because we can't help it. It's an easy thing to fall into, but Romans 6 has a very different message for the believer. Look at verse 5. It says, for if we have been united, say united with me. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united, say united. United with him in a resurrection like his. This word united means to plant. Like literally, like you take a rose bush and plant it in the ground and it becomes part of that soil. Everything it needs comes from that soil. Paul says you have been planted in Christ as a believer. That you have been united with him. This union with Christ changes everything. It's the key to the Christian life. The death that I should have died was really Christ really died it in my place so that I don't have to die anymore. It's a done deal. And the life that Christ lives is really the life that I can live now. Because if I'm in Christ, everything that is his is mine. And that's how we learn. If we can learn what it means to be in Christ, that's how we can learn how to live for Christ, as the men and women God wants us to be. Look with me in verse 6. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So how free does that verse tell you that you are? In Christ, does it say you're a little bit free? So celebrate. In Christ, you're pretty much free. No, it says so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. That we are totally free. We are totally free to live as God's people. I want y'all to hear this. You are as free as you want to be this morning. That the struggles that we have in our lives are because we choose to go back and to live like slaves instead of believing the truth that Christ has set me free from all of that old junk and now I can live a brand new life with him. Not on my own strength, but because it's his strength in me. That means that hurtful thing that I said to whoever, I didn't have to say that. That means that when I overspent and got myself into debt, I didn't have to do that. That means that when I'm tempted strongly to do something that I know I shouldn't do, I don't have to. Man, that's real freedom. The question is, do you want that to be true for you? Because we lie to ourselves and we buy into this garbage that we're not really free. But if we're free, then we can live free. And Paul is saying we are as free as we want to be. Christ has spoken over you and said you are totally free. That's who we are. So the question then is, how do we take this truth that I am as free as I want to be and connect it with my real life in such a way that I can actually experience victory over sin in my life and peace and joy in the midst of stress no matter what life throws at me? There's two things that we're going to look at here. They're very simple. The first one is think like a free person. Think like a free person. There's a famous British pastor. British pastors are the best, by the way. They're like, all my top pastors that I like are all British people. Most of them are dead. I don't know why. There's just a certain period in history. Just free for you. So Martin Lloyd-Jones is a phenomenal preacher. I love him. One illustration that he gave on this passage that is such a good picture. Imagine a group of people that have been enslaved for hundreds of years. And they were in slavery, and these people had power over them to tell them what to do, tell them how to live. And this was for hundreds of years. If they did not obey, they could be beaten, or they could even be killed. And so that's a way of life. That's a way of thinking. But then a new king comes in, and he decrees there's no more slavery. And the people who used to have power have no more power over these men and women. But the reality is that even though that's true, these people are no longer slaves. When they go throughout their day and they see those people that used to oppress them, man, they still fear and they tremble. And when those people that used to enslave them say, go do this and go do that, the former slaves still do it. Not because they have to, but here's the reason why. Is because they still don't see it as a reality in their lives. It's because they don't see that their reality has actually changed. They don't grasp that they are truly free. And they aren't living according to the fact that they have been set free and that no one has power over them except for the king. And then Martin Lloyd-Jones ends his illustration like this. Every Christian in this room is in that condition. It's the only reason you do anything wrong. Now that is a very sobering truth. So much of our struggles in our lives come from not understanding what is really true about us. We just don't live with this truth in our mind. We don't know how to think like a free person. Because we've lived this life in slavery apart from Christ. And then when we get saved, all of a sudden you think it's going to be like magic, but it's not. You know, when you give your life to Christ, I know you've all experienced this. You imagine like everything's going to be totally different like that, but it's not. The same struggles you used to struggle with are probably still there. A lot of the things that were problems for you before Christ are still there even after you give your life to Christ. And the reason for that is because of this right here. We have to learn to think like a free person. We have to learn to see the right way and to think the right way, or else we'll keep going back to the things we've always done, the way that we've always lived. So there's two things that we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again if we want to start living and thinking like a free person. The first is my past is dead. My past is dead. In verse 6, Paul says, we know. And we'll just stop right there for a second. We know. If you want to think like a free person, the truths of the gospel have to be absolutely certain. As sure as today is Sunday, as sure as I have two children, as sure as my shoes are tied right now, I know that these things are true. Any simple thing that you don't question, Paul says, how much more so the realities of what Christ has done for you and what Christ has given you. So he says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. We know that our old self, that phrase there, the old self, it's this old way of living. This old way of living. We didn't love God. We didn't obey God. We lived for ourselves. Even if we did good things, we lived this life outside of God with no way to actually be the people God had created us to be. And so Paul says all of that, the old person you were has been crucified with Christ. It is dead. And let me just ask you a very plain question. If something is dead, what can it do to you? It has no power. It has no hold. You've been set free. That old life is gone. It's not who you are. The blood of Jesus has washed us, cleansed us, set us free, and said, let's do something new and walk in the newness of this life. So we know that our old self was crucified with him. And then he goes on, in order that, for this reason, that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now, the body of sin is how we experience sin now. You've been set free from your past, but you still have a fallen body. And what that means is that this body of sin is the way that sin is going to show itself in your life. It's through your body. Paul says it's through your instincts. It's through your emotions. It's through your words. It's through your hands. It's through your feet. You've been set free from the power of sin, but through your body, it still has influence over you if you let it. And so the reason that we've been set free is so that in our real day-to-day life, we can actually see victory in our bodies. That we can begin to say, no, I'm set free from that junk, and so I'm going to do something different with my body. I'm going to do something different with my words. I'm going to do something different with my thoughts today. Because I don't have to live in the same chains. I'm set free. Why do we keep going back? in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So Paul is saying that you can actually live the free life, this free person that Christ has made you to be. You can actually live that out. 1 Peter says, everything we need to live a godly life is inside of us. Not because of you, not because of me, because God himself has given us everything by grace to live this life. So don't believe that you are helpless right now. Don't believe right now that you are stuck. Don't believe that you are powerless. If you are a child of the King, you are as free as you want to be. The other thing that Paul says here is that my present has new purpose. Not only do we need to believe that our past is dead to see that we are free from the power of sin, but we need to learn to think the right way about right now. In Romans 6:4, we read this a minute ago. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Christianity is not humanity 2.0. God did not save you so that you could be a little bit better than you used to be. God has saved you so that you could be a brand new person. And that brand new person is the same life that Jesus lived. The way that he obeyed God, the way that he loved God, the way that he surrendered to God, the way that he lived his life. Paul is saying here, if you can believe this, so can you. How on earth is that possible? It's a supernatural awakening inside of you. That's how. It's not our own effort. It's not something we can do. It's being born again to a brand new existence. You have been set free so that we can experience this new life. So this new life, a couple things Paul mentions here. One, it's completely dependent on God. Notice there in verse 4, he says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. It's only through depending on God that we can ever live this life out. It's a life that's built on dependence. You want to live a life of freedom and victory? You need to learn how to live a life of complete dependence. When you become a Christian, you come alive to the fact that everything you need is in Jesus. You don't live in your own strength anymore. We don't have to live for ourselves trying to survive. We can depend on Christ, find everything we need in him. You know, that's the only difference between a believer and a non-believer, is that one understands everything they need is in Jesus and one can't. When you have your eyes open to see everything is in Jesus, man, life is never the same. There's one other thing. It's completely dependent on God and it's completely for God's glory. So Paul says in verse 11, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We are not alive to just do life as we've known it. There's brand new motivation. There's brand new purpose for our lives now, and it's God's glory. It's that now we can love him. Now we can obey him. Now we can glorify him, and now we can shine him into this dark world around us because we've seen there's nothing greater than him. And so the first step here this morning is we need to learn to think like free people. More than just a truth that we talked about this morning, it needs to be a truth that you remind yourself, I want to think like a free person. The second thing, so we think like a free person, and then the second thing is we live like a free person. Now, the life God wants for you does not happen automatically. It's his power in you, but you don't just sit back and say, all right, Lord, live for me. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. That's not how it's going to work. There's a word that you can't escape no matter what era of your life you're in, and it's the word exercise. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to experience the victory and the power and the freedom that we're talking about this morning, we think like a free person, and we have to exercise that thinking. A little over a year ago, I started going to the gym, and my goal was to get my body back up in shape, back to where it used to be. One thing about that is I had a buddy that kind of got me going to the gym, and his goal for me was a little bit different. In his own words, he wants to get me ripped. I know it's funny because you look at me and you're like, I don't see it ever happening. Me neither. But that's his goal for me. Chris, I don't want to get you up to where you were. I want to get you ripped. And so when we go to the gym together, he's all about pushing me further than I think I can go. But what I've noticed is when I go by myself, there's a limit. You know, if I'm running, if I'm lifting weights, there's a certain point where I'm like, I'm done. I've got nothing left to give. Okay, it makes sense. But then when he's working out with me and I'm like, I can't lift another thing, I can't run any further. But then this other voice is like, yes, you can. Keep going. Yes, you can. You're not done. One more. You can do this. Go further. Push, push. And as I hear this other voice, man, it's amazing. It's like there's this hidden strength in me, and I can lift more than I thought I could lift. I can run further than I thought I could run. And the reason is because your strength in your body is only as strong as your brain is. And if you let your brain tell your body you can't do it, no, you can't do it, you're done, you're going to be done. But if you can ever learn to hear another voice in your life telling you, no, 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 you've got more, everything changes. And in our Christian lives, I want you to know that is so true. Here we are going through life, we're saying, by our thinking, I don't think God can really do that in me. Some of y'all might be hearing what we're talking about today saying, that is for the radicals, that is not for me. And here's what I want you to hear. Don't limit what God can do in you. What if you could stop listening to your own thinking and start hearing the voice of God telling you, you can do this. You can go further. You can obey more. You can do this. I've put everything in you that you need. Don't give up. Don't quit. You can do this. And that's when you can turn to him and say, if you've really put this in me, then I'm going to take a step. And I'm going to trust you. And as you start exercising what God's put in you, you're going to see the power of God at work. And you're going to be able to experience things in your life that you cannot explain. And there's not going to be anything you can say about it except for it is God in me. And that is where he gets glory from your life. And that is where this world sees Christ in you. And people are changed. We have to learn to exercise what God has put in us. We have to live like a free person. If this is really true, then I promise you, if you begin to exercise it, you will see the power of God at work. So there's two things Paul says we need to do in Romans 6 to really see this life come into play. One is we need to wage war against sin. Wage war against sin. Look at verse 12 with me. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Everybody say reign. Let sin not reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passion. That word there for reign is actually the word king in the original language. It's the verb form. It says, don't let sin be a king in your life. Don't let sin be the master over your life. That's you going back and letting yourself be a slave when you don't have to. Paul says, don't let it reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. And the reason it says mortal body there, like we talked about earlier, that's the way sin is going to get into your life. It's going to use your body. It's going to use your eyes. It's going to use your ears. And so we have to be very careful. We have to have this mentality about war here. It is a war with sin because it is trying to come in and to take over and to reign. And if you give it a small space, it's going to flood in and it can do whatever it wants. We've got to be ready for it. So Paul says, don't let it reign to make you obey its passions. And then in verse 13, he says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. So don't give your life over to sin. Don't willingly let sin have any part in your life. Now, we don't really have time to get into these much, but if you have a pen, I would encourage you to jot these down. Here's four ways that you can actually wage war against sin. Four ways that you can fight back as a free person. Number one, fight aggressively. Do not be okay with sin in your life. Repentance is the greatest gift that God has given to believers. It's the privilege for us to say, I've messed up, but I can go right back to God and be accepted like that by grace. So God says, don't be okay with sin in your life. Don't stay away from me out there doing whatever, but be a person who runs back to God. Be a person who's not okay just living in sin. Fight aggressively. The second thing, fight carefully. Don't be foolish with sin. Don't be foolish. If you know that you struggle with a particular area in your life, don't assume that you can just be around stuff and everything's going to be fine. If you struggle with lust, I would tell you, men especially, be very careful what you do with your cell phones. It's a big one, and it is hurting so many men and families because we're being foolish with sin. If you struggle with a credit card, cut the thing up. Throw it away. Absolutely. If you have a struggle in your life, why would you go straight to the thing and be like, we'll probably be okay? No, you won't, because you're willingly giving sin an opportunity and it will destroy you. Number three, fight together. Don't try to do this alone. You need men and women in your life that can help you remember the truth. You are a free person. You are not a slave to sin. They can help you fight back. No war is won by just one person. Wars are won when nations get together and they fight together. And so be a person who can confess your sins to other people. Man, I'm struggling. I need help. Be a person who can listen to other people. What's going on in your life? I want to help you. We can't hide this stuff. We have to fight together. And the fourth thing is fight thoughtfully. Basically, you can try to fight sin and wage war so that you can feel good about yourself. Like, I want to be a good person, so I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's not the reason that we fight sin. We fight sin because we love Christ. We fight sin because we treasure something greater than garbage. We fight sin because that's not who I am. I've been raised to a new life, and I'm not going back to that garbage. That's why you fight sin. We fight thoughtfully. Fight for the right reasons. The last thing Paul says here is surrender to the true King. He says in verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The ultimate way to live as a free person is to live as a surrendered person. And this is a daily battle, to surrender to God daily. And there's a couple different levels that this happens on. One of them is more of a prayer level. It's more of a, I'm going to resolve in my heart, I'm surrendering to God. And that needs to be something that you do every day. I hope that you do. It's something that I have to work very hard on and carefully to start every day depending on Christ. Because I know if I put my feet on the ground and I get going into the day, I get in the flesh real quick. And I start living out of my own strength and I start taking care of everything I got to do. And before long, there's not much Jesus. It's all Chris Wallace. And I make a lot of messes when I do that. But if I start my day out and I keep this stuff in my mind, Lord, it's not my life today. It's not about what I can do today. It's about relying on you. It's about knowing there's a greater reality in me than just me. It's about saying, I want to obey you today and I want to be used by you to impact somebody else today. And so I surrender. It's not my life, God. And man, then I live my life. I take those steps and exercise it. So as I'm doing that, how can I live that out, that I'm really surrendered? And that's the other thing about surrender. You can surrender by saying, God, I surrender. But if you don't obey God, you're not surrendered. That's a hard one. If you don't obey God, you can't say you're surrendered to God. Obedience is proof of surrender. And so we need to know that. If I'm going to surrender to God, that means, Lord, here's my life. And Lord, and you start walking with him. And this is so crazy. I know y'all are going to think I'm crazy or I made this up. But you can read the Bible, and if it says do something, you can do it. That's surrender. That's how simple it is. That's how practical it is. God, I actually want to be a man who hears you speak and says yes. I actually want to be a man who hears you say do this, and I do it. I'm sick of being a man who says, oh, I'm struggling. No, I'm going to be a man who lives in the victory of Christ. Don't y'all want to be a church? Don't you want to be a person who says, I'm free and I choose Christ? Let's be people who do that, who fight back, who surrender to the King. Now, what we've been looking at this morning, it's absolutely life-changing, but it is impossible to just do this on our own. So if you've heard all this and then you try to just go live as a free person because you want to be a free person, it's not going to work. The only thing that can make you a free person is an encounter with Christ. Remember, we said it's only if you're united in him. Just because you want to be free doesn't make you free. If you're sitting in a prison cell, you can want to be free all day long. That doesn't open up the gates. But when the Son of God, who was perfect in every single way, came down and he took on a human body and he entered into your prison and my prison and he said, I'll take their place, open the gates. And we got to walk out as free people and we never have to go back. And Jesus died for us and he shed his blood so that we could forever be washed of that junk and live as the brand new people that he purchased forever. Man, we're talking about a glimpse of what the future is going to be like. I wish we had time to talk to you about what's coming ahead. But we're just talking about what's right here this morning. So I want to challenge you guys to be men and women that are set free to live free. You are as free as you want to be this morning. So my question to you is, are you free?